Hi, I'm Kate Boyle, and welcome to the Mind Movement Health podcast. Each week, I'll be bringing you health information from diet and lifestyle to movement and nutrition. My aim is to bring you bite-sized pieces of information that you can instigate into your everyday life to change your health. Hello everyone and welcome back to the Mind Movement Health podcast. I'm Kate Boyle, your host, and this week I am sharing with you some of the lessons that I have learned through health, fitness and lifestyle over my 18 years as an expert in the health and movement fields. Now, I really wanted to share this episode because everybody assumes that, you know, the biggest takeaways, being a nutritionist and a Pilates instructor and having so many years of movement behind me, that my biggest takeaways are going to be all about how we can eat less and exercise more. And there is so much more to our bodies, emotionally, mentally, and physically, that I have seen over the years. And so I wanted to dive into a few. I'm going to go through 10 of the things that I have learned that I know can help so many people. And you might have some sort of moments where you go, oh yeah, I definitely relate to that. These are some of the biggest things that I see come through and some of the, I guess, the main reasons I do what I do, but also just my observations of people coming through and why I have spent so many years working with people. So, starting with number one, one of the biggest lessons and things that I've seen is that pain is the biggest motivator. So when people come to see me, they generally are in pain. Sometimes we often think that, you know, if we can put on weight, we can put up with not having enough energy, we can put up with feeling tight, we can put up with feeling grumpy. But when pain starts to build up, I find with what I've done over the 18 years and the people that I've seen, that pain is the biggest motivator to make a change. It really is. You can put on a lot of weight, but it's generally not until you start to feel pain that you decide to do something. And look, that's not everybody. Lots of people will change and make things before that. But I just wanted to point out that from what I have seen and what I know myself is that one of our biggest motivators to make a change is pain. So what can we do with that? Well, we can listen to our bodies because our bodies are incredible and they communicate to us so much. So it's becoming aware of that pain, being really in tune so that you can feel pain and nipping that pain in the butt early so that it doesn't start to manifest and then cause issues in other areas. So I just wanted to point that out. One of the second things that I've learned is that we all need connection and touch. So I'm going to preface this by saying none of these are in a certain order, but I have spending so many times, you know, so many years working with people. One of the biggest things that people enjoy about their Pilates classes is that connection with other people. So it might be forming friendships with people, even sometimes just having a conversation with other people. And that connection is not only through having conversation, it comes through touch as well. And that may mean, you know, when I'm working with a client and I'm giving them feedback and I am touching their body and helping them to feel what muscles are activating, they really enjoy that touch. And we do as humans, we crave that connection, whether or not it be, you know, just with our relationship with trying to talk to people and communicate with people or touching. And that's why hugs are a huge thing and really help to get our endorphins flowing and, you know, instantly give us a boost in our mood because physical touch is so important. So just thinking about that touch with people. And sometimes I can tell you now that I have clients that come to classes and they come in with pain and we work through exercises, but sometimes it's the physical touch that really makes the difference in their progression, but also just in their changes in pain. And it might just be that weekly or, you know, bi-weekly connection with somebody, having somebody listening to them, having somebody really trying to understand what they're going through. So I just wanted to highlight that because yes, we can do amazing things with exercises, But I can tell you now that a lot of the healing process that comes through is not just from the exercises. It's getting that connection with other people, being heard, being seen, being touched. All these things do come together and help. Okay, moving on to number three, and that is the food that we eat will influence and affect more than just our digestion. So it affects our mood, our energy, outlook on life, and it also contributes to anxiety and depression and other disorders. So I'm highlighting this because we often think that almost our food is a bit linear. What we eat affects what we weigh, and we kind of don't think about it more than that, except aesthetically, we think if we are a bit heavier than we want to be, then we're eating too much and not exercising enough, and we sort of don't go beyond that. But in the probably the last 10 years, there's been some amazing research that has come through showing how much our food not only influences our physical health and the way we look, but also our mental health as well. So that can be our immune system. That can just be, as I was sort of pointing out, if we are feeling really stressed and anxious and we have issues with depression, then what we eat really has a flow-on effect to that. And things that we can do to help that is going back to that whole food diet, getting rid of foods that have artificial flavors and colors and nitrates. All of these things have been linked directly back to contributing to the symptoms of these disorders. Also trying to eliminate inflammatory oils. So we know the more inflammation we have in our body, then the more symptoms we're going to have, and it can contribute to lifestyle diseases, things like diabetes or heart disease or depression, or all these things that we're talking about. So making that connection with food, in that it's not just affecting us physically, but it affects us mentally, and that huge flow-on effect, and that just having, you know, a really simple healthy diet, going back to those basics, can have huge ramifications on not just our physical health, but our mental health as well. All right, number four, everything is connected. Now, I say this a lot and I go on and on about this, but that's because it really is. Our gut health is directly related to if we are sleeping well, what food we are putting in our body, how are we exercising. And so, you know, that flow and effect, the amount of stress levels we have affects if we're holding tension in our body, which contributes to pain. You know, we can go on to lots of different things, the type of food we were just talking about that we're eating, and whether or not they have inflammatory oils can cause inflammation in the body, which in itself can make us feel like we have a lack of energy, we can't concentrate. So that is one of the reasons why I developed Mind Movement Health, and that I'm so passionate, because a lot of people always ask me, you know, you did nutrition, but you didn't stop in nutrition and only focus on food. And that's because through my exploration over these 18 years, I found that everything really is interlinked, which is why I studied to become a nutritionist. Then I found the power of Pilates to heal injuries. And then I went on, I've done so many other different courses, and found that the more that we can connect our movement, our mindset, what we're putting into our body, how we're sleeping, how we're managing our stress, all these things, if we can put them together, they really create a holistic health plan and allow us to tackle anything that sort of comes up, because we do know that everything is really interconnected. And nothing has shown me more of that than working in Pilates and working with people in pain, because when we dive into that, a lot of people often say, oh, when I come and do a class with you, your intake form and your questionnaire is so in depth. And I ask about, you know, previous surgeries and scars. And if we go out diving into nutrition, we might look at the amount of antibiotics you have had previously, even back to when you're a kid. If you had mold exposure, all these types of things really add up and can hang around in the body over the years and cause different things, which is why I always do a really thorough intake when I am starting to work with somebody, because everything is interconnected. Okay, number five, Who you spend your time with matters. And this can be, you know, in relation to your movement, your mindset, the type of food you eat, how you run your business, all these types of things. Now, there's lots of studies that show the five closest people in your life will have the biggest effect on how you live your life. So experts often say that if you want to make more money, for example, then you need to surround yourself with other high achievers that are, you know, really kicking goals and moving on up the corporate ladder, or maybe they're starting their own businesses, but that they're really, again, have that ambitious mindset to, you know, increase their income as well. Now, I really do think that this just makes it easier if we're thinking about who we're hanging out with. If we're hanging out with people that really like to move, then you're more likely going to meet up with them to go for a walk or do a Pilates session. Then if you're meeting up with a friend who really doesn't like exercise, you're probably going to chill out on the couch and then eat, you know, a bag of Doritos or something like that. Same can be said with our food. If we're meeting up with other friends that are health conscious and love to eat healthy food, then we're probably going to go out and eat healthy food with them. And so you can see how this has a flow-on effect to your life. So learning this and seeing it over the years happen with myself and with my clients, I always encourage people to hang out with the people that make you feel happy, that really feel like they're supporting you as well. So that's a really big thing, is finding your crew, whoever they may be, to help support you when you're going through tough times, but also just to be there and, you know, make you feel good. And the same, you know, you do the same for them. You help bolster them up, you help support them, and you can really lean into those people to help you create your healthy, happy life. All right, number six. Our bodies aren't built to go hard all the time. Now, what I mean by that is we need periods of rest. And especially as women, we have a monthly cycle. Now, with that monthly cycle, you know, we sort of have, you know, we'll say 25 days where we're doing our thing, and then the 5 days when we're menstruating, or around that, it can be more or less depending on the person. That time is generally a period of rest. So our body tends to require more calories. We are losing blood through our menstruation. We tend to feel a little bit, you know, more, not necessarily down, but we might have a lack of energy. And so this is a great time to rest. And I've had a few different experts on the podcast previously. Sam comes to mind a few episodes back, so I'll link her up in the show notes, where we were talking about perimenopause and the cycles. And she was referring to, and as you know, menstruation is sort of our winter season for the month as women. And so in winter, we tend to hibernate more, we tend to rest more, we do more restorative exercises, we eat more restorative or hearty foods like soups and things like that that are really going to nourish us. So this can be applied to other times of our life too. So again, just referring this back to people that I see, they're often coming in pain or wanting to fix some sort of a problem. Maybe that's a digestive issue or something like that. And they're in a period where there's high stress because they are having these issues with pain or digestion or whatever it may be. And when we're having issues or periods of high stress, then our immune system is already under fire. We're probably not sleeping as well. And so if we're trying to go really hard, and that may be, you know, working really long hours, trying to exercise really hard, doing exercise like running and, you know, really long workouts or fast workouts that take a lot of energy, we can get drained really, really quickly. So building in rest, not only into our day, and as I've gotten older and as I've worked with more and more people, this has become more prominent, is making sure that people are building just little rest periods into their day. And it might be 5 or 10 minutes here or there. And rest, we need rest for the body, but we also need rest for the mind. So, you know, taking 5 minutes and some time out, not where you pick up your phone, but where you can either just close your eyes and focus in on your breath. So, you know, like just a mini sort of tight meditation. Maybe it's getting outside and going for a walk. Maybe it's just sort of letting your mind drift, okay? Think about other things. Our mind needs time to rest and our body needs time to rest. So just highlighting this because it's really important. And I think especially as women get older and potentially they, you know, go through their 30s and their childbearing years, this type of stuff tends to catch up. It also, it forces us, if you have kids, it forces you to slow down. I laugh because I was the type of person that went hard and fast for all of my 20s. And then when I had kids, it hit me really hard. It hit me hard because I ended up having a long recovery and a slow recovery from my births, having some traumatic births, which you guys already know about. And I've done a podcast interview, so I'll link that up as well. But you know, getting to that stage, realizing that you do need to slow down because you've got to look after another human now, and sort of just going through that, your body has gone through a lot with growing a baby. And even if you don't have a baby in our 30s, we tend to feel that we may be going, you know, 24 miles an hour with work, things get hectic, we've got busy social lives, and we need to build in times of rest because this is when our hormones may start to go a little bit haywire as things start to change and we kind of realize that we're not invincible. So I'm just bringing this up because I think it's something that we can all relate to, especially as women, okay, especially with our monthly cycles and everything that changes. So always be kind to yourself and build in the rest when you can. All right, number 7, our bodies are truly amazing. Now, when I say this, it astounds me, still astounds me to this day when I am working with somebody in whatever field that it may be, how the body can adapt, how the body can heal and change. And movement-wise, it's fascinating because if the body feels stuck in an area, so let's use just walking for example, if you have a hip injury and you get pain, your body will still walk. It won't use the muscles that it's supposed to use to do that action, but it will find a way around to do it. Also, just reading a book on the immune system recently and finding out that if you have your spleen removed, then your liver will and your kidneys will start to upregulate what they're doing to help filter out the blood and toxins. So these are just a couple examples of ways that our body will change and adapt. And, you know, I was listening a little while ago to an expert and they were sort of saying that, you know, how can we go so long? So you might have a person in there, we'll just say in their 70s, for example, that may not have exercised for majority of their life. They may not have had a fantastic diet. Their health isn't great now, but they're still ticking along. They're still going. How can our body put up with these, you know, types of lifestyle activities for so long? Smoking is a good example of that when you see people in their 70s smoking and they've been smoking for 50 years. And that's because our bodies really are magnificent in the sense that they can put up with a lot, and everybody is very different in their genetics. So some bodies can put up with more than others. Our environment also has a big impact on this. So, you know, even going back to your childhood and where you were brought up, what the air quality was like, how well insulated was your house? Was you exposed to chemicals or molds? These type of things, you know, can build up in our body. But, you know, depending on our immune system and the food that we're eating, we can create very resilient bodies. And it still to this day astounds me to what the human body can do and the power that we have within ourselves. And sometimes it just takes, you know, it takes a lot of work to harness that power, but it can be done. But with the right guidance, you can do anything. And it's, as I said, it's just one of those things that I am always in awe of when I'm working with people to see what the body can do. All right, number 8 is that trauma is held in our body. Now, this trauma may be emotional trauma, it could be physical trauma, it could have happened 25 years ago from a car accident, it could have been emotional trauma from your childhood, but your body holds on to this, and unless we are doing work, then it tends to hang around, for want of a better word, and it doesn't let go. Now, the reason I bring this up is because pain and trauma go hand in hand. And when I'm working with people and they come in with pain, and it could be one area of pain, it could be multiple sites of pain, and this can be pain that's just sort of come up, or it can be pain that they've had for years, there is generally some underlying trauma there. And sometimes it's stuff that I can't work on, being a, you know, a physical hands-on exercise. Sometimes I can get clients to a certain point with their pain. So we might be able to reduce the pain by 70%, but then other work needs to be done. And that may be, you know, seeing a psychologist, that may be talking with a friend or a family member or somebody that went through this trauma with you. But it means that processing this trauma is not only happening at the time, it may need to happen years later. And especially if it didn't happen at the time, our body holds on to it. And having had so many years experience with working with people in pain and dealing with a lot of trauma, I could honestly say that our body does hold on to this trauma. And, you know, I'll often get clients that come in and they say, you know, I've seen a massage therapist and a myotherapist and a physio, and everything they do, you know, nothing is working. Nothing seems to get rid of this pain. And so we may start working together and they may see a reduction in their pain, maybe only by 30 or 40%. And that's when we may need to look at other people to work with to find that there may be some trauma there that needs to be undone. And look, I'll be honest, not everybody is ready to work through that, you know. Facing trauma is super hard. We've all got trauma in our past in some form or another. But, you know, doing myself, I can tell you, doing a lot of breath work. I've had a lot of emotional experiences in that, doing breath work and doing meditation work. So it is very individual, but it's something that I have yet really discovered over the years, and something that I am very aware of, and like to be very gentle when I'm working with somebody. So something that I just wanted to bring up in that I've found over the years. Okay, number 9, getting back to basics always works. It does. It really does. And getting back to basics may mean cleaning up our diet and really just going back to, you know, what grandma ate, you know, eating those fruits and veggies, sticking to our whole grains and whole foods, you know, our meat and fish and dairy, if we eat those things, and just trying to clean up our diet as much as we can. It also is referring to moving our bodies every day, getting good sleep, having good habits in place that help us deal with stress, and also, you know, deal with any sort of difficult, you know, emotional or physical stresses that come up in our lives. But getting back to basics, keeping things as simple as possible, and that's why my approach to the way I work in the studio, the way I run the Mind and Movement Health membership is all that holistic approach. And, you know, I always say, you know, these getting back to basics isn't rocket science. They are easy, but it's not always simple to apply it or to actually follow through with it. And that's where getting that support and guidance from someone can really help. But if in doubt, I always sort of remind my clients, you know, they will often sort of say to me, they might come into the studio and do a few classes and they're like, okay, yep, Kate, what exercises can I do at home? Can you design me this program? You know, and they want something that's like half an hour long with 20 different exercises and all the rest of it. And, you know, I often just say to them, go back to squatting, go back to sitting down and standing up. Get a daily walk in, like go back to these basic functional movements that we need, really focus on them, build those up, and then we can start to add in the specific exercises that may, you know, really target in on certain muscles. But building up that gross functional movement first, this is just an example as we're using movement, and then building from there, but starting with the basics and getting that really strong foundation always helps, no matter what we're referring to in every area of our life. So if you can just think, what is the simplest way or what is the simplest thing I can do to start, and begin with that. Okay, finally, the last point that I wanted to bring up is being kind to yourself. So we are very, very judgy on ourselves. And I can say that because I am guilty myself. But, you know, over the years and working with so many different people, we judge ourselves really harshly. We also talk about ourselves very unkindly sometimes too. And I always like to think that, you know, if we say what we say to ourselves, if we actually said that to one of our friends, or if we heard somebody saying that to one of our friends or loved ones, we would be mortified. We would probably stand up for them and say, don't speak to them like that. So I always remind my clients to be kind to themselves, to speak to themselves nicely, remember where they've come from. So a lot of the time, you know, we've all had some sort of life. And as we were talking about before, we might have had different traumas. Maybe they've been physical, you know, maybe they've been mental or emotional, but these all add up and we're still going. Wherever we're at, whatever age we're at, whether or not we're in our 30s or 50s or 80s, we have gone on a journey and we have to remember that we're still continuing on that journey. We're still traveling forward. And so that is amazing in itself. And so sometimes we just need to step back and, you know, give ourselves a little bit of grace, be really kind. You know, if you are in a kicking off with a exercise plan and then you miss a day or two, you know, that's okay. You don't have to give in. You just can tell yourself that you just needed that bit of time out. And as we sort of said before, we're not built to go 24/7 all the time. We need those rest times and those rest periods. So build them in, be kind to yourself, and things have a way of working out. And remember, you can always seek help when you need, you know, whether or not that's just a friend that you need to chat to, but, you know, having really good, you know, self-talk to yourself and being kind when you can make a huge difference when you're recovering or trying to work towards a goal. All right, so there were 10 big things that I have learned over my 18 years of working in the health and fitness field. They were, little bit of a gathering together of all different things across food and movement and lifestyle. And a lot of the things is what I bring to the table when I'm working with somebody. And so I just wanted to share those because, you know, having spent so many years working with different bodies and seeing thousands of different bodies, all shapes and sizes with all different problems and areas that people want to work on, it kind of all comes together, but there's always some underlying themes that tend to come through. All right. Well, I hope you have an amazing week. Remember, if you haven't subscribed to the show already, please hit subscribe. I really do appreciate every single subscribe. And if you would like to leave a review, then I would thank you in advance for that too. Every review really helps us to get found on iTunes and is lifeblood of podcasts. So thanks for tuning in. Hope you have a great week and I'll chat to you all next week.
Thanks for listening into the podcast. Please hit subscribe to be updated for each time we release a new podcast.